Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear pushed again for universal preschool during the state's last legislative session, and state lawmakers again said no, with some questioning the governor's cost estimates and others arguing the state shouldn't start new programs it would have to fund for years to come. Now, six cities in northern Kentucky are taking a different approach to kindergarten readiness through something called the Read Ready Network. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the importance of preparing children for kindergarten and how the Read Ready Network hopes to help are Educate NKY Vice President of Early Learning and Family Power, Jenny Watson, Newport Vice Mayor Julie Smith Morrow, and Dayton Independent Schools Superintendent Rick Wolf. Welcome to the program, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lucy.
Hello.
Great to have you all here. Jenny, where is Kentucky when it comes to kindergarten readiness, and is it fair to say the state has something of a kindergarten readiness crisis?
Yeah, I would agree with that. We're in the state of Kentucky right now hovering around 50% of students coming into school ready to learn. And that measurement is a universal screener known as the Brigance, which kind of measures four main domains for kindergarten readiness. Starts with social-emotional, think of self-regulation, how kids are ready for school, physical, gross and fine motor, and cognitive and language. And of those four domains, I would say that in Kentucky, we are, you know, hovering between 48 and 52%, depending upon the year, but nearly 50% are ready for school every incoming school year.
Hmm. And what does that look like in Dayton Independent Schools?
You know, obviously, this is a focus for many school districts in Kentucky, and we have steadily been climbing this past year. We are at 67%. We're really happy with that number, but clearly that means we've got, 33% that we're not ready. So something we're continually working on.
Yeah. Well, Rick, what are teachers dealing with when children aren't ready for kindergarten? I mean, can it be as basic and as detrimental as a child not being totally potty trained when that kid comes into a classroom?
You know, it can have multiple factors. You know, Cincinnati is big for the Flying Pig Marathon. So I'll use an analogy with running. It's like starting the Flying Pig Marathon about 2-3 miles behind everybody else. And so when that child is not ready for kindergarten in any one of those four areas, they're just starting the race behind everyone else.
Yeah. Any thoughts about what that means for teachers in the classroom? Like, is it sometimes some kids are, you said, these physical challenges that some kids come in mm-hmm. with? What does that look like, Jenny?
Yeah. For teachers, I mean, you know, like Rick's analogy is perfect. So when you have such a wide range of student cognitive abilities, physical abilities, social emotional abilities coming into the classroom, it is really difficult to calibrate where to start the instruction to get kids up to speed. So, you know, naturally, the teacher has to focus a lot on remediation versus like, let's really high expectations and move ahead. So it just creates a dynamic where those children are behind. And then we really look at third grade reading scores, literacy, math scores in third grade. And there's a definite correlation that's really easy to identify. When those kids are unprepared in kindergarten, they are likely still behind in third grade. And then you could just draw the through line, you know, up to high school and beyond.
Yeah. Well, Jenny, any idea how Kentucky's kindergarten readiness compares to neighboring states or to the nation as a whole? Is that something that's really measurable?
Yeah, that's a really unclear identifier, because Kentucky is lucky, and this actually originated here in Northern Kentucky with Northern Kentucky University, that we have a universal screener instrument for identifying kindergarten readiness known as the Brigance. Other states do not have a common metric. So when I'm looking at, you know, how do we in Kentucky compare to Indiana or Ohio, it's really apples to oranges because the screeners are not the same. So while we're always, you know, wanting to know what are our neighboring school states doing, you know, because states govern schools, that line is very hard, a hard line between, you know, all of the borders.
Yeah. Julie, I know we were talking before the show, you served on the school board for many years. Yes. Before getting involved on the city commission, being elected the city commission and vice mayor. What were things that you looked at as a former school board member? Were those comparisons something that were kind of ever present that your parents were thinking about?
Absolutely. I think that people are aware of what's going on in other communities, and they look at what's happening in their own community and wonder how are we comparing? And I do know that when our teachers and the staff were faced with children coming in who aren't ready, they would have to spend a lot of time while still focusing on the goals of getting everybody ready to progress through their grades. Mm-hmm. So it's a very difficult situation.
Yeah. We're talking about kindergarten readiness and the Read Ready Network in Northern Kentucky. Do you have questions or comments? Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So, Rick, I know, as I mentioned at the start of our conversation, Governor Beshear has been pushing for universal pre-K in Kentucky for a number of years now. What would that mean for your school district? Do you have any sense for how many Dayton Independent students go to preschool before starting kindergarten in your district?
Sure. So at Dayton Independent Schools, we take all four-year-old students and we take all three-year-old students as long as there's room.
So you have preschool.
Yeah, we do have preschool. But for most public school districts in Kentucky, they're only required to take 3 and 4 year old students with an IEP or 4 year old students who are at risk. So many bigger school districts in Kentucky, those are the only students that they are reaching, which, you know, early childhood experiences are so important to the child's success later on in school.
Yeah. How many families take advantage? You said Dayton Independent's in the position where you can offer preschool to all 3 and 4 year olds, but I imagine you sometimes get families who haven't sent their kids through that program. What does that look like?
Yeah. So this past year, our kindergarten students, we had 9 students who had no early childhood experiences at all, who showed up at our door ready for kindergarten. And typically what that means is those children are behind. This year was kind of an anomaly for us. We had 6 of the 9 that were deemed kindergarten ready by the Brigance assessment, but typically that's not the case. Students come in not knowing letters, sounds, numbers, things of that nature, which goes back to what we previously were just talking about, is those children are behind.
Sure. And even the self-regulation, I mean, something you learn to do in preschool is to maybe sit in your chair and not have the wiggles constantly. I imagine that can be a challenge.
Yeah, it is a challenge. And even from a child who has preschool, goes to preschool and to kindergarten, that is a huge jump, you know, because preschool is more about play and learning with friends. And it's like kindergarten, I'm not saying kindergarten's the same as second, third, and fourth grade, but you know, there's a lot of more sit and get and learning. It's not the same play format that happens in preschool. So it's already a big jump for kids that do attend preschool. But now to take a child who's not been in school at all and put them in that environment where they're now expected to sit and listen to the teacher or sit in a small group and work with others, collaborate, that's a tough task.
And if I can add to that with what Rick is saying is luckily his school board really, you know, figured out the means to provide those dollars for the 3 and 4 year olds. That is not a state funded initiative at all. So, you know, kudos to his team. But I will add to Rick's point about public preschool in Kentucky is 3 hours a day. And so when you look at that and you look at a kindergarten day that is, you know, just a month later, a couple months later after that child is 5 or 6 years old, it's an all day setting requiring full scale attention, you know, all day long. So one of the things that we're very interested in looking at is really how can we kind of mix delivery model with high quality childcare within the school or around the school so that child has an all-day experience, you know, very developmentally appropriate, making sure that it's a play-based curriculum, but allowing that time and space for a little bit more structure. So I think that that's one of the conversations that the River Cities are having about how can we do that in a, you know, high-quality childcare mixed with public preschool to get that all-day experience. Yeah. And, by the way, allow parents to go to work.
Mm-hmm. And if I could add to that, I know at the very beginning of every school year, the biggest, most difficult transition is going into kindergarten. Mm-hmm. So our kindergarten teacher's job at the beginning of the year is just getting kids to realize this is what school is like. Mm-hmm. Whereas everybody else, not that they hit the ground running because all their kids are on grade level and ready to learn. It's just, they hit the ground running because those kids know what school is like. So it's a big, big transition.
Yeah. I imagine even just sitting at a desk is a big, I mean, that's a big, kids don't typically have desks at home. They don't have desks on the playground. You know, I mean, that's just a big change, isn't it, Julie? Is that?
I think so. And I think it's so far outside, can be so far outside the experience of these children and these families, especially if they haven't had the pre-K, any pre-K experience. It's a huge adjustment.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot more to talk about. We'll talk about the Read Ready Network after a short break. And later in the program, Cincinnati's plan to supercharge the growth of the urban tree canopy. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about kindergarten readiness and a Northern Kentucky initiative called the Read Ready Network. My guests are Newport Vice Mayor Julie Smith Morrow, Dayton Independent Schools Superintendent Rick Wolf, and Educate NKY Vice President of Early Learning and Family Power, Jenny Watson. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. So, Jenny, what's the idea behind Read Ready, and how does it work?
Yeah, so Read Ready is was really created out of the need of a very thorough, comprehensive landscape assessment of Northern Kentucky, where it was brought that the number one priority is kind of an early learning champion, and that's where I come in. And the idea of Read Ready really originated, Mayor Joe Meyer from the city of Covington in 2018. He had the genius idea to say, well, what if we as city leadership raise our hands and say, cities, we can step into the leadership gap of early childhood. And from there, we can build a coalition around that work. So the Read Ready Network is really modeled after that initiative that Joe Meyer began. And now it is basically a coordinated early childhood ecosystem. And really what it is where we had every city in the urban core in Northern Kentucky sign a resolution saying that they will be a leader, and the school districts all stepped in saying, yeah, we'll partner in that effort. And then that formed a committee that is a place-based strategic committee that meets monthly, and it has city leadership on it, school district leadership. I facilitate these meetings. And we're kind of creating a plan that is honoring the assets that are within the local place-based, you know, each city. Bellevue is very different than Newport. But so honoring those, but yet, like, there's a through line with all the river cities where we're looking at programmatic things, systems, experiences that families can have. And the really important part of this is it's prenatal care through age 5. So that requires a lot of coordination of partners who are in that early childhood space for us to come together and make sure that whether I'm a Newport family and I move to Covington, that those resources and systems follow that family. And that's the really purpose of, you know, our theory of action, that if we could uplift families in the urban core, the entire region will elevate. Mm. And that's really the fundamental purpose of Read Ready.
Yeah. So it starts with prenatal, involvement, but it goes all the way up till age 5. As you get closer to that kindergarten starting point, when we're talking about kindergarten readiness, what are some of the programs involved? I mean, you know, there some places like Dayton Independent have preschool for everybody, but not every mm-hmm. river city does. Mm-hmm. Certainly not every district. Never every one of these cities does. So, what are some of those programs?
Yeah, I think it's important before I talk about programs to talk about kind of the core work of every city's committee that's working on this. We keep an enrollment scoreboard where every month we know by zip code, for example, there was, let me make sure I get my number right, 691 babies born at St. Elizabeth in the River Cities in 2025. So that sort of starts the funnel. And now we know, okay, how many babies should we find? How many one-year-olds? How many two-year-olds? You know, so really strategically, we're doing a grassroots effort to say, what are we going to work on every month so that we, quote, find those children? What we mean by child find is enrolling them in Read Ready. And then from there, they get access to a texting feature every Monday and Wednesday through Children's Hospital with a developmental milestone tip that comes right to the parent's phone, reminding them, hey, is your baby crawling? Are you talking to your baby? Are you singing with your baby? Those kind of, and you get that for 5 years as being part of that program. So that's just one. Another instrumental learning tool is Footsteps to Brilliance, which is a language literacy app that really we focus on 3 through 8 year olds, more or less. And it's Spanish or English. And it's really songs, nursery rhymes, books, everything that you could have access to at your fingertips for children to do. And then I think thirdly, it's access to being part of a network. So there's opportunities for communication between groups of people who belong to this network. And then access to brain development. One important thing to note is that, and I think a lot of people may not realize this, 80% of the architecture of a baby's brain is formed before they're 3. Mm. So access to uplifting parents and caregivers as their child's first and most important teacher, you know, is what that network provides.
Yeah. Julie, talk about Newport's involvement in this and what that looks like.
Yeah. There. Well, I had heard about the Read Ready initiative in Covington a few years ago and was very excited about that and hoping that that would be something we could do in Newport. And when I heard about the opportunity for the Newport Board of Commissioners and the City of Newport to really put our stamp on that as well and sign on, I was thrilled. And it was a no-brainer for all of us to do that. I think the importance of the city saying, just saying that this is important. These are our kids. These are all our kids. It's not just the school's responsibility. It's not the social service agencies. It's not the medical providers. It's not even just the families. It's all of our responsibility to help these families grow these children and get them ready to learn and be successful. So being able to do that and finding a way that we could all be linked together in doing this. I knew from years connected with the schools through the school board that many resources existed. And I also knew that a lot of parents wanted to help their children, but maybe didn't know how or didn't have their own experience in doing it. So to hear of ways that we could bring them together and provide resources and help them was just amazing. So Newport, the city helps with coordination, providing access to meeting space for sure, linking to a lot of community activities. We like to have Jenny come and talk to our board and the community. Every time she comes and speaks to the board, she's speaking to the community as well and letting them know how we are pushing this forward. And it's for the benefit of all of our children.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that about it's not just the schools or these other places, because I think a lot of people would hear this and say, why is the city involved in this? Isn't this a school district thing? Can you talk more about that, important to you?
I think that when we look at our communities and how well families and children are doing, it all points back to what happened in their early lives? How did they begin to learn? How did their parents help them grow up? And if we just sit and think about the schools doing that, those schools have those children just a small fraction of the day. And it becomes apparent that it is the responsibility of all of us. And what better way for a city to show that it really cares about its residents and its families and its children than to be involved in something like this.
Rick, how does that help school districts? I mean, you all, I know, have your hands full with a lot of different things. Has it made a difference to have city governments and these medical providers and all these different organizations involved and really focused on this work?
I mean, I think it's essential. You know, families are essential in the development of young children. And these early childhood experiences lay the foundation for success later on in school, not just academically, but socially and emotionally. So I think it's important that everyone's on board and saying, hey, we have to address this. Because if a child comes to us at 3 years old, 4 years old, and they're already behind, it takes a lot. Not that they can't get caught back up. They can. But it takes a lot longer to catch them up as opposed to them coming into our doors ready already.
Well, and then I would imagine if a teacher is working on helping those students catch up, even if it's only a few, that takes away from classroom instruction for the rest of the class, right?
Sure. And right away, you know, in kindergarten, you know, preschool and kindergarten, you're starting intervention, you know, response to intervention right away. Whereas if, you know, if we can get 75, 80, 100% ideally of students coming through our doors, through a school district's doors ready, then you can just, you know, not smooth sailing, but
smoother,
correct,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Jenny, you talked about how healthcare providers are involved in this work, these texts that Cincinnati Children sends to the families that you've identified. What about like libraries? I would imagine, are they important partners in all this work?
Yes, absolutely. So in Northern Kentucky, both our Campbell County and Kenton County library directors are part of what I call early learning advisory group. So we meet quarterly and we're talking strategy, and they really are the advisors of kind of systematically what we're doing across all the river cities. So libraries are partners, other nonprofit partners, think Head Start, NKCAC, you think, you know, Brighton Center, EC Learn. These are big names in the early childhood space who are invaluable in helping us inform strategy. I would also say, you know, the early childhood providers, you know, child care directors. So we work to convene all of the River City child care providers and build a network for them out of this work, because they're kind of excluded inadvertently from the school districts, but yet they're instrumental in understanding what high quality looks like, bridging that gap between, you know, even home care providers are part of that conversation. So again, it's just providing those folks with supports.
Yeah. And so it sounds like a lot of this is building those connections and those networks for the providers, but for the families too, so the families know what those resources are and have those networks to tap into. Is that a big part of this?
Yeah, absolutely. We have some branding and marketing materials, and Educating KY gave each of the River Cities some seed dollars to kind of start with. So you'll see signs say, Read Ready Covington, Read Ready Dayton, you know, all over the communities with QR codes for them to sign up. You see branding like last night at the Newport Commission meeting, we were all wearing our Read Ready Newport t-shirts and things like that. So I think that, yeah, that branding is invaluable. We also have a website I wanted to mention. It's readreadyky.org. And so that's kind of a landing page for families to go to access resources, go ahead and enroll if they've not enrolled yet. And as we continue to grow, more resources will be put up on that website as well.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of participation are you seeing in Read Ready so far? I know some places are a little bit farther along in terms of the amount of time they've been doing this than others. And do you know yet what kind of difference it's making?
Yeah, I think we can talk enrollment, you know. So Covington officially comes on board under the Read Ready Network, hopefully next Tuesday. Their commission, we're working on a memorandum of understanding to take them under. So I'm excluding Covington for this part of the conversation. But we are currently at 352 children in 0 to 5 who've enrolled, and we have that broken down by age, by birthday, 0 to 1, 2s. But I have to give kudos to Rick and his recruitment efforts, because by percentage, Dayton, I think, is leading the way. I think, right, are you about
37%?
Yeah. So I would say of all, we think that out, excluding Covington, there's about 12 to 1,300 0 to 5-year-olds in the River Cities. So we're able to kind of, you know, obviously create a formula where we're able to say what's the percentage that every city has quote found, and Rick is leading the way. I think average of all the river cities right now, we've found about 30% of the children, but we've really just been organized in this effort since fall, last fall. So I think that, you know, that momentum will continue, especially with big events happening in the summer.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, what do you think this will mean for Newport, Julie?
I think that it's going to really help stabilize a lot of families, and it's really going to help our children be so much more successful, just in their academics, but in life. And I think that it's amazing. I think it's brilliant. I'm thrilled about it. I'm very excited about the energy all around it. Every time our group meets, all the people that are there are you can feel the energy, and it's really good. I'm really appreciative.
Well, this has been a terrific conversation. I've been talking with Dayton Independent Schools Superintendent Rick Wolf, Educate NKY Vice President of Early Learning and Family Power Jenny Watson, and Newport Vice Mayor Julie Smith Morrow. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having us, Lucy.
Up next, we hear about a plan to supercharge the growth of Cincinnati's urban tree canopy. This is Cincinnati Edition.